for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run, or is it? Oh, well fielded. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great effort. That's unbelievable. That is sensational.
Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.
Hey, welcome to Short, Fine Legs, South Africa's premium cricket podcast, which is now proudly brought to you by Orcor, Africa's favourite auctioneers. Orcor are the biggest hitters in online and live auctions, featuring the best brands in luxury and budget vehicles and trucks, as well as furniture, appliances and gadgets for your home and office. The Orcor team are also the biggest cricket fans out there, so naturally we're quite big fans of them too. Visit their website, www.orcor.com, or follow them on social media so you're kept up to date with their latest auctions. Hey, welcome to Short Fine Legs, the cricket podcast that is trying very hard not to take a left turn into negative town, as Faf du Plessis once warned. But it feels we've actually been paying rent here for almost 4 years now. Look, there's a lot to unpack from South Africa's 113-run defeat to India at Centurion, a stadium that was once considered a fortress for the Proteas, but was so easily stormed, it might as well have been guarded by mannequins. Losing the toss and bowling didn't help, especially since the two opening bowlers, Kagiso Rabada and Lungi Ngidi, hadn't bowled with a red ball in a match since July. And the test was effectively lost in that opening session and a half, with KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal looking assured and reaching 117 without too much fuss. Both bowlers found their groove and eventually looked like the devastating duo we all know them to be, but they got their selection wrong. Let's be honest, they got their selection wrong. The omission of Dwan Olivier looked suspect at first and was later explained away by selector Victor Mutsang, who cited COVID and hamstring injury. But then why wasn't Luthus Apamla or Sasanda Magala or Glenton Sturman playing? You know, guys with recent experience bowling with the red ball. Don't get me wrong, I think a lot of people got this confused when I tweeted it. I don't think that Lungi Ngidi should have been rested, but I don't think that Marco Jansen should have played. I like the look of him. I mean, he's 2 meters tall, has a languid, easy run-up and bowls with his left arm. I mean, he's effectively a unicorn in South African cricket. And I hope he has a stellar career, and by all accounts, he probably will. In fact, Vion Mulder's probably in a bit of trouble now with Jansen showing that he can bat as well, but failing to pick someone fresh and in form was a mistake, and it may have cost South Africa the series already. Because India's bowlers are so good. They're so good. Pat Cummins might have something to say about this, but I'm not sure if there's a better bowler than Jasprit Bumrah right now. He's just a delight. Every ball is a threat, from that weird action and his little scattered run-up. And Virat Kohli must go to sleep at night with a smile on his face, knowing he's got a seam attack that will carry his team to a series victory in South Africa. Remember the one place that India haven't won. To go along with the recent triumphs in Australia and England. But I don't want to pick at the bones of that defeat too much. Elgar did what he always does. Sadly, so did Keegan Peterson, who doesn't look ready for the number 3 position. I'd like to see him shift down to 6 with Rusty van der Dussen, if Rusty van der Dussen keeps his spot, coming in at first drop. I've always believed that Aidan Markram is better suited to the middle order, and I'm not going to bang that drum too loudly now. I'm not sure I'm ever going to get my wish. I know for a fact the player himself wants to continue opening the batting. I know that that Dean Olga likes opening the batting with him. But I think we're wasting what is now South Africa's best batter at the top of the order. You know, every opener has got a new ball with his name on it eventually, and why not just give your best batter the best opportunity to score big runs? It's getting harder to defend Vion Mulder, and anyone who's followed my work, my writing, my podcasting will know that I'm a huge fan of the guy. I mean, I once erroneously wondered if he was the answer to the big hole that Jacques Cullis had left, and he's certainly got all the talent. He's still young, but he's probably got one more test to score runs before he loses the faith of the selectors. As I said, especially with Marco Jansen proving that he can hold a bat. And Keshav Maharaj, as wonderful as he is, and I rate him above every other spinner the country has ever produced, should have been carrying drinks in Centurion. And for the sake of the series, I hope he does moving forward. I don't think the spinner is necessary. I think the Indian batters playing him well. And I'd like to see an all-seam attack. Olafea, if fit, has to play. I've covered the bowlers, which leaves me with two men who stand on different platforms in the psyche of South African cricket fans. And who represent what seems to be diametrically opposed ideals. Certainly among the fans. I think they've become totems for vitriol from both sides of this conversation. And I think you know who I'm talking about. The first man is Themba Bavuma, famously the first and only black South African with a Test 100. He ended 2021 with his team's highest average, with 53.6. The next best is Dean Elgar, who averaged 44.2. And no one else averaged more than 40 this last year. But here's the thing, and I'm guessing you know what's coming. Bavuma's top score was 61. He made 250s. In the last 4 years, he's registered 16 half centuries. But that ton against England on a flat deck in a meandering contest that ended in a draw is his only contribution of 3 figures in the scorebook. He doesn't need me or anyone else to tell him that that's not good enough. 250s in a test count the same towards the total score as a single 100 and a duck. But I'll tell you what, that single 100 wins you test matches. 250s in both innings do not. But rather than state the obvious, let's come up with a solution. And I think it's pretty clear. He has to bat at number 4. With 45 test matches under his belt, he's no rookie. And given the lack of experience around him, it means he should be entrusted with the premier spot in the lineup. Especially if Aidan Markram is insisting that he wants to bat in the top. Themba Bavuma is the vice captain. He skippers the white ball team. He captains his franchise. He's a respected and trusted figure in the game. In the country, and he's the only batter in the middle order who looks interested in batting for an extended period of time. It's not a wholly new position for him, as he's batted at number 4 on 12 occasions. Look, the stats don't support my argument, as he averages 21 there with a top score of just 71 against Bangladesh on the road that is Potchefstroom. But I ask you, what alternative is there? We can't keep bemoaning his conversion rate if we're asking him to bat with the all-rounders and the tail every other innings. Give the man some responsibility. I think he's earned it. He's not Joe Root or Virat Kohli or Steve Smith or Kane Williamson, you know, titans of international cricket right now. I don't even think he's the best batter in the lineup. But he has earned the right to be the alpha. And it's not like anyone else is putting their hand up to be the top dog at the minute. And I also think the added responsibility and over trust in him would help. This is a guy who grew up literally looking up to all the big boys in school and scary fast bowlers who must have dismissed him as a little pipsqueak given his diminutive stature. But he hooked and he pulled and he cut his way to the top, and as a compact technique and a heart the size of a V8 engine, he can do it. Let's back him. Now we come to the other side of the coin. A man forever linked with Themba because of a political act, or rather the absence of one. Quinton de Kock, South Africa's most talented wicketkeeper batter, and a contender for a spot in the top 5 most talented batters of all time, genuinely, has retired from Test cricket at the age of 29. He leaves with 3,300 runs from 54 matches, an average of 38, a strike rate of 70, as well as 600s and 22 50s. He also held on to 221 catches behind the stumps and nabbed 11 stumpings. As always, the numbers tell half the story. The man may not be the most eloquent speaker. I wouldn't want him doing my taxes or educating my children on history. But with a bat in his hand, I am very comfortable calling him a genius. His ability to pick up length is freakish, and he has such fast hands, able to cut the ball effectively out of the keeper's gloves and change his stroke as the ball is coming down at him. I mean, his pickup over the leg side is up there with one of the best shots in world cricket. His loss is massive for South Africa. Look, thankfully, Ryan Rickleton and Kyle Verena look cut out for the elite level. But Quinton was special, is special. And I'm truly sad to see him leave. I interviewed him a few years ago in 2019 for a Cricket Monthly piece, which you can read if you like, called The Effortless Genius of Quinton de Kock. We chatted for over 2 hours, and to be honest, I got the sense that being an international cricketer wasn't something that he's ever loved doing. Don't misunderstand me. I believe he loves playing cricket. Playing cricket. I just don't think he ever found the joy in all that goes with it. The travel, the time away from home, interviews with the press, events with sponsors, the pressure, the scrutiny, the weight of expectation. He knows how fortunate he is, and the pay is tremendous, obviously. And that's afforded him a life that he does love. His passion for fishing in the bush is well documented. But cricket, I think Test cricket in particular, 5 days in an average team in empty stadiums, amidst the bio bubble now. I'm disappointed, but I'm not overly surprised to see him go before his time. He told me, and I quote, "I back myself to know the game. I don't know what it is. I find it hard to explain. If I'm in the right space, I can see what will happen before it does. But there's no formula for how I do it. I couldn't teach anyone how to do it." He also said, "There's more to life than just cricket." Now, with fatherhood looming, he's taken a stand. We have to respect that, as disappointed as we might be. I want to save the analysis on his career for when he does eventually walk away for good. He's got a lot to offer the white ball side, and I reckon he's still got a few records to break. So if you were hoping for a deep dive on his decision not to take the knee during the T20 World Cup and how that decision impacted his legacy, well, then you'll have to wait. This is about De Kock, the Test cricketer, who once promised to be South Africa's answer to Adam Gilchrist. He still makes my all-time Proteus Test 11. As they say, don't be sad it's over. Be happy that it happened. That's our show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you've had a wonderful festive season and that your 2022 is off to a great start. I'm so excited for the Wanderers Test, even though I won't be there in person. But if you're watching along on TV and want to drop me a line on Twitter, please do, at Daniel Gallen. Thanks, y'all. Catch you before the final test.
Shout for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run, or is it? Oh, we'll field it. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great effort. That's unbelievable. That is sensational. Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.